Welcome to the Investing in Real Estate podcast with Clayton Morris. This is the show where we focus on buy and hold real estate. Why do we do it? We do it for the purposes of creating passive income and legacy wealth for you and your family. If you're interested in finding your freedom number, come over to our website at morrisinvest.com/freedom and download your free financial freedom cheat sheet today. Hey, everybody. Welcome into today's episode of the Investing in Real Estate podcast. I'm your host, Clayton Morris, and today we are going to have a bit of a follow-up episode on one that we previously did with our friend Wayne Sanford. He is the credit guy. He's the owner of New Start Financial Corporation, and back, I would say almost a year ago, Wayne and I talked about how to help repair your credit, how to figure out and understand credit, what goes into your credit score, why some people are slaves to that credit score, and how to be unburdened, unshackled from that credit score. So you've got to go back and check out Wayne's first episode. It really helped a lot of people. And I heard from a lot of our listeners who listen, who've had their credit repaired, fixed, updated as a result of listening to Wayne's episode. Today, however, you may have heard some reports about tax liens, judgments, and other things are soon to be removed from your credit report this summer. But there's more than meets the eye with some of these new changes, new laws coming down the pike. And that's why we wanted to have Wayne back on to talk about all of these new things and how it's going to affect your credit. Wayne, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me again.
Great to have you here. So first of all, what has changed since we last spoke? Were these things that have moved through Congress, things that were already in the works? Tell me about them.
This is actually the result now that the start date of this technically is supposed to be July 1st. What ended up happening, it was primarily set up from the Attorney General for New York, actually coordinated the lawsuit, and a lot of other attorney generals kind of jumped in, let's just call it on the bandwagon for the moment. And starting July 1st, and there's only been a couple of articles published on this, a lot of repeats and things of that nature, but there, as always, it's not always what it seems, especially when it comes to the world of credit. They came to a conclusion. Obviously, there's a lot of other behind the scenes stuff that I'm not going to bother going over with people in detail. But the main portion is, at first glance, they say, hey, as of July 1st, any public records, and they specifically talk about tax lien or judgments, they're going to be removed. Now, there's arguments, of course, on both sides, one being, you know, they're supposed to have all this data that's reporting in order to properly confirm it's you. And that's one of the main reasons why it's getting deleted, because a judgment, a tax lien, they're not going to be posting your Social Security number on public record for obvious reasons and more, you know, security and privacy protection. But what these articles, and there's only a couple of them, don't really talk about is they say, well, hey, this is going to get removed. And as if you're listening to the Clayton show, obviously, you should know, hopefully, that you cannot have a lien or a judgment on your credit, because that will supersede the first lien position of a bank. So the big thing that they're talking about is how it's going to be removed now. So if you do have a judgment, they're almost to a certain degree making it seem like, hey, it's going to be gone and tough luck on the banks. And that's how it works. But there was literally, and I saw one sentence of an article, and all this is really going to force these companies to do is really the mortgage companies and the banks, they're just going to go directly to the companies that report public records and get a report directly from them.
Huh. So they're just going to go around it.
Yeah, it's going to cause a lot of, and it's something that they have to do regardless, because like I said, the technical term is a first lien position. I'm sorry. A judgment or a tax lien will supersede the first lien position of a bank. And obviously, if the bank's the one loaning the money, they want that first position. So one of the problems is, and it's really going to, it's going to start kicking in almost immediately, because whenever something like this occurs, no one's ever truly prepared. And there's going to be a lot of people that are getting ready to close on homes or possibly even properties, at least if, you know, for your listeners, that if there is something out there, it's going to pop up at the last second and really possibly kill a deal. So what I always tell everyone is a judgment, a tax lien, it has to be paid. Judgments, they can be negotiated for a cheaper price depending on, you know, the details of it. Tax liens, the state really is not interested, or the government is not interested in giving any sort of a discount, specifically the states. But of course, you know, if you're talking federally, you're talking IRS, and you can't always do what's called an offering compromise. That was a lot of talking, I know.
No, I mean, it's good to break this down. So what happens? Well, first of all, how does a judgment get on your credit to begin with? What are the mechanisms there and how will that change?
Sure. Ultimately, what happens is a judgment is really that lender's last chance of trying to recover funds from a contract that was broken by the consumer. And once again, like I tell everyone, no one ever typically gets a line of credit of some capacity, whether it's a house, a car, a line of credit, a credit card. Nobody gets these things with the intention of not paying it, but life does happen. And what's funny is whenever you get these debt collectors, especially the incredibly rude ones that violate the law by threatening and just being condescending and mean, they always talk about how it's a consumer's, that's your personal responsibility. And I always counsel customers, whether they're clients of mine or not, just to tell them, well, if it's my personal responsibility, why did I sign a business contract? And it literally shuts up the debt collector because they don't really know how to respond to something like that. And technically, in a roundabout way, it's true. You signed a business contract. Now, there's no such thing as a personal contract, but it's a business agreement between this lending institution and you that they're going to loan you money or a credit card that you can do this. You'll make payments and you go back and forth. But primarily let's say in Texas and California, we're just going to pick those two states. When you go delinquent on a debt, that lender has got 4 years where they could sue you. Okay. So it's kind of looked at from a lender that, hey, this company you had not paid them and they literally had to decide to take you to court as the final piece of leverage for them to get in order to somehow recoup their money at some point. Now, technically, if you get a judgment and it's not like TV, and someone is not walking up to your door, or walking up to you like on the movies and saying, hey, are you John Smith? Yes, I am. Hand you a piece of paper. You've been served. Every city is going to be different with their serving process and the way they litigate with that sort of thing. But it's going to be knocking on your door of residence and it's going to be the credit card address. So if you have an old credit card and you moved, they're going to go to that address 3 times. And if you're not there, and of course, when do they go? During the day when people are at work. So even if you did live there, you're not there. After the third attempt in most states, they're allowed to just stick it on a piece of tape saying, hey, you've been served. And now you're quote unquote properly served. If you do not respond within 21 days from typically the date of it's being served, then it automatically hits a default judgment and you may not even have become aware of it. So that's kind of part of one of the reasons why this kind of came to be. And of course, a judgment, like we said, supersedes, and I'm always going to pound that into people's heads. It'll supersede the first lien position of a bank. And you cannot, it wouldn't matter if you had a 750 credit score, putting 50 grand down, and the judgment was $500. The judgment will have to be paid before a bank will take the deal.
Interesting. I mean, I've gone through a judgment. I had a judgment on a foreclosure situation, and it was on my credit for a long time. I think it was on there as deficiency judgment. Affected my credit for people know this story of listening to this podcast, and it certainly affected my ability to buy rental properties, buy properties that, you know, I couldn't do it. I had to save up cash in order to do it. And in some ways it was good because it forced me down, you know, to learn that and unique ways of being involved in real estate. I couldn't just go to a bank and get a loan. So how does that change now? I mean, I think it would sit on there for 5 years.
Technically a judgment's there indefinitely. Now, on a credit report, prior to this July 1st, initiative kicking in, it technically usually falls off at about the 10-year mark. But what a lot of people don't know is a lender can actually file what's called an affirmation of debt. And the easiest way to explain that is just they're sort of refreshing the judgment in the public record caseload. As you would imagine, there's tons of judgments. So just over the course of the years, just the sheer number of documents just falling lower and lower and lower, that would actually refresh it and kind of make it pop up and be a little bit more in your face, so to speak.
Gotcha.
And it's primarily designed to make sure that it doesn't slip between the cracks. But what happens is, so once that judgment is done, it goes to public record. Then there's companies out there, and you know, everyone's familiar with the three major credit bureaus, but people don't realize there's credit bureaus for practically everything. There's a specific credit bureau for if you go delinquent on a bank account of yours, you move, You forgot about the $20 check that you wrote to the lawn care guy. He deposits it a month later. They'll honor the $20 and then contact you, if they can contact you, at the address that they have on you, saying, hey, we paid it. You owe us $20, but the account was insufficient, so you owe us $35 more. You don't pay that, and most people just purely out of, you know, I mean, who would want to pay something they shouldn't have actually, you know,
right?
Shouldn't have actually even paid it because the account was closed, but they don't make money that way. They make money with insufficient fund fees, which I think accounted over $1 billion last year. So then it goes to what's called check systems for labeled account abuse. And now you, when you go open up another bank account, you get flagged and you can't get another bank account because of that. There's stuff for insurance. So these things are all over the place. So these companies go to the public records, they buy the public data because it is public data, and then they sell it to the credit bureaus who now report it. So that's how it sort of comes to be. This is going to nip that in the bud, at least short term, but then all lenders are just going to do is just go to these companies directly to get it. So if you have an outstanding judgment or tax lien, like I tell everyone, it needs to get handled in some capacity. Either do it yourself, contact somebody, at least discuss it with somebody. That's the minimum you should do.
Take me through the mechanics again of the judgment and how that would, like, you know, if it was on my credit before, so it was lingering there for a long time, that would be wiped away this summer.
Let's say you got a 5-year-old judgment on something. Let's say from, you did a short sale of some capacity. Let's say it's 5 years old now. As of July 1st, it's supposed to be purged from your personal credit report. So you go, hey, now I can go buy something in August. Let's just, let's just use the beginning of the months. So August 1st, you go shopping for a house, you start the process. If underwriting then decides to finally get one of these reports just to do a public records check, let's just call it, that judgment's going to pop up and they may not do it for 48 hours prior to closing. And now all of a sudden the deal's dead.
Mm. So what if you just get a judgment? I mean, if it's, so 5 years is fine, it's one thing, but what if, you know, you've got a judgment on your record last year? How is this, is it only 5 years and now after 5 years, no matter what, it's off?
No, even if the judgment was on your credit, then let's just say it happens to be 9 years, because judgments are treated differently than your standard negative information on your credit. It would get purged, whether it's 6 months old or 5 years old. It'll be purged from the credit report itself. But like we tell everyone, that doesn't mean it's not still there somewhere. So it'll just be on a different report. They're just talking about consumer credit reports, meaning the three bureaus. There's nothing that's been discussed about other entities like LexisNexis, which is a big public records company.
Let's say I get a judgment last year, 2016 or even 20. How does that, what will happen with that?
The judgment, well, once again, when I say it'll be gone from the credit report, that doesn't mean it's been satisfied or handled. So let's say they took you to court and you got the judgment against you. And let's say it was December 31st of 2016. Typically, it'll take maybe a month or two to report to your credit report. Obviously, your credit report score drops. And then as of July 1st, or let's say starting July 2nd. Now, a lot of times, if you do have this, it would make a lot of sense to contact the credit bureaus that said, hey, the law says now that after July 1st, this is supposed to be removed. There's plenty of times that things are supposed to be done, but they're not actually done. So I always caution people to always be proactive. So if you do happen to have an older judgment, an older tax lien, at least to get it off your credit report to give you some more points, definitely put in the request to the credit bureaus.
So if you have this ability to get this wiped off, I mean, this could be a game changer for people who've been lingering. I have a friend of mine who, I mean, he runs a multi-million-dollar company, and yet he can't get a home equity line of credit on his own house because of a short sale that he had to go through, I don't know how many years ago it was now at this point. And he still has to deal with that on his credit.
Well, we had a customer that came to us. I want to say the judgment was 5 years old, and they owed about $50,000. Now, obviously, that's an incredibly, incredibly large amount. But just like when you go delinquent on a debt with a collection company or the original creditor, and it goes to a collection company, just because they're asking for 50 doesn't mean you have to pay 50. it is always going to be company specific. He ended up hiring us and or hiring me, and I ended up getting them to take $7,900 in a one lump sum payment, and they settled the judgment. So you're able to get pennies on the dollar. You can now, of course, something that, let's pretend this judgment that happened to you in this hypothetical December 31st of just 4 or 5 months ago, that is going to be a lot more difficult than one that's been on the books, so to speak, for 5 or 6 years. The older a negative debt gets, the more leverage you can typically get in order to get a more aggressive discount.
Interesting. Now, how do they, when I want to get this fixed, cleaned up, is it fairly easy to contact these credit bureaus and get it to check? Because if it gets wiped off of my credit, that's one thing, right? We're sort of putting our faith in the credit bureaus to get this thing cleaned off. But, you know, I know you're laughing because now it's like, okay, they're supposed to do it. Are they really doing it? And how can we double check their math?
Well, the one thing that I tell everyone that I think is worth the money and only because it's free, I am not a fan of Credit Karma by any shape, form, or means for several different reasons. They don't use FICO scores. They use what's called a Vantage score, which is technically the score is going to be useless. However, the data that they report is worth it. So Credit Karma reports on Equifax and TransUnion. It's free. What I tell everyone is if you do have a judgment or a tax lien, at least if you're not currently subscribed or you don't want to pay money for some of those services, at least subscribe to Credit Karma, and you can actually dispute directly with Credit Karma. And after July 1st, just say, hey, this account's supposed to be deleted from my report per the new law. Nice. It's something that you don't need to hire a credit company. You don't got to hire me. You don't have to go around looking for someone else. It's something that should be as simple as if you want to write them a letter and send it certified, or you want to go online to one of those monitoring sites if they do offer the ability to dispute. That should be something incredibly simple for you. Just remember, just because it's gone doesn't mean it's not going to be coming back to haunt you at some point if it's not satisfied.
Gotcha. Okay. What about Dodd-Frank? I've been reading a lot about Dodd-Frank, and you know, I don't know if that has anything to do with the credit world or not. Does it? The rolling back of the Dodd-Frank era laws, of course, from the Obama administration, and trying to, you know, kind of crack down and make sure that the nefarious, you know, banking practices weren't being handled. And now a lot of that is being rolled back. Really, there's almost nothing that will be left once these regulations get pulled away from, you know, the Trump presidency and Republicans. Does that have anything to do with these credit laws?
Every financial law that's out there is going to have certain sections that touch base with your credit reports. What I tell everyone is, given you don't really know what's going to be pulled away and then how that's going to affect. So it's kind of one of those things where it has to occur first and then we have to see. I mean, I almost hate to say it, like I think Nancy Pelosi said, let's just pass Obamacare and then we'll figure it out later. It's almost like that when some of these laws, if things are getting repealed or things are getting added, we have to see what's going to happen first. With all the news media hitting it, everyone in the very beginning, it's going to automatically, you know, I'm educationally taking a guess here, but if you have if you have judgments, tax liens, it's going to get deleted on the initial front. However, 6 months from now, when things die down, I wouldn't be surprised if there's all of a sudden a few problems and hiccups. We had a gentleman that was actually he's actually a national talk show host. And this is many years ago. He wrecked his Porsche. And for some reason, Equifax was reporting 90-day late payments. We spoke to Porsche on his behalf. We got the codes that Porsche sends directly to Equifax saying, hey, this is not reporting correctly. There's no 90-day late payment. Please delete it. Equifax refused to delete it. With the documentation in hand, with, you know, from the person or the company that was paying them to report this information. So we literally had to prep a few things in order to give it to his attorney, for him to his attorney to file suit. And then once it filed suit, the higher ups looked at it and then got rid of it. But sometimes you literally have to go that route.
Why is this happening? Why are we doing this? Why is this change coming to our credit reports?
The main thing is that they're talking about is a lack of proving that that's really you. Because if you think about it, on a judgment, yeah, obviously you'll have the name, and this is even a tax lien too. You got the name of the consumer, you have the address where they reside at, or at least where they resided at when they signed the contract. But most of the time, while you can use your address, the main thing that people know about and utilize is your Social Security number. Well, they can't report your Social Security number in a court record because that's public record and that violates privacy rights. So they're using that primarily, or at least the Attorney General was using that. So most of the time when you get stuff like this, you get people of similar names. One person lived here and now the other person. So that's usually where it comes from. I didn't sit down to read, I think, literally the 200 pages of the lawsuit itself, because unless you got a law degree, you're only going to understand so much of it. What I was more important or more interested in was what they were asking for, the changes, and were they being applied and what was being applied. And the main thing is primarily that, hey, if you don't have the name of the customer, where they live, and their social, you can't report it on a report and then sell that to people. And of course, they can't post your Social Security number just because that's your Social Security number. That's personal private information. Everything else is sort of up for grabs when it comes to reporting.
Gotcha. So how do you think things are going to further change? And is this going to be better for consumers?
Initially, it's going to be at the very beginning, it's always going to be better because a credit report, like I tell everyone, it's like a crystal ball. It's trying to predict the future. Life happens. And what's really a shame is you can have these businesses that can go delinquent on anywhere from tens of thousands to $1 million worth of debt. And then they seem to get away with it. And then they can just turn around and then borrow money again. But you and me as the consumer, it seems we have one little hiccup and we're almost screwed for 7 years. You know, one late payment on a credit card, on a house, on a car can damage you almost up to 90 points. And unfortunately, a year from now, you're not recovering those 90 points. So while it is a snapshot of your financial well-being, life does happen, craziness does happen, and this is helping to mitigate. So if you were sued, if there was a tax lien, you rectified it, it's now going to be purged and not hurt you. So estimated credit points increase, they're talking maybe 15 to 25 points. One thing that we always tell people as credit experts is you never want to pay a collection. Typically, it doesn't usually benefit you unless you're literally in the middle of a lawsuit, don't want to hire an attorney to go over the legalities. But when it comes to a judgment, even if the judgment hypothetically was 5 years old, paying it and showing paid and released will typically have an increase in score. Now, it may only be 5 or 10 points. It might be 17 points. But now at least it doesn't look as bad for you, because like I tell everyone, there is no such thing as a good public record. If somebody tells you that, if let's say you're a lender or if you're a real estate agent that's listening to this and they say they have a public record, there's no such thing as a good public record, because it's going to be bankruptcy, tax, some sort of tax lien, state or federal, or somebody sued and it's a judgment.
So it's never going to be like a nice accounting. Oh, you know, Clayton's just a nice guy. And he, that's not going to be on.
Everyone, we're publicly stating on record, public record, that Clayton has done fantastic so far. It's been great for the last 10 years or 5 years or 2 years. Yeah, that's just never unfortunately going to happen.
Well, bottom line this for us, Wayne, how can people protect themselves and make sure that they're crossing their T's and dotting their I's on this one?
If they have a tax lien or public record, obviously we always want a higher credit score, because I tell everyone credit's very important. It does not take a rocket science or even someone investing in real estate to know credit's important, but people truly don't know how important it is until you need something today. And then it is absolutely too late. So if you do have a public record or a tax lien or a judgment, make sure starting on July 2nd, you contact the credit bureaus and request the removal of that per the new law. If there's still a balance on that, the older it gets, the better for you. Contact them. Understand that if they're going to give you a discount, you need to have the money up front. because the reason why you're in this predicament is because you were not able to make the contractual on-time payments that you were supposed to originally. So you need to be able to have it in one payment. So that's definitely going to be the first thing. You got to address it. Burying your head in the sand is not going to help. This is helping your credit score, so that's great for consumers. But just like everything, lenders may get hit initially, but they're going to figure out a way to find out how to check this out directly, because yes, they can go to LexisNexis. They can get these reports directly from public records and find that you still have not paid it. But until they figure out how to work that into their complicated computer systems, it is what it is. So always address it. Never bury your head. I've had a lot of people after our last show that we did a while back were just calling, just, hey, Wayne, I just want to go over this one situation I have. And I tell everyone, just call me. If you're listening, pick up the phone, call me on my number that Clayton will give out. Call me, shoot me an email. I'll be happy to respond and tell you what I'm going to tell you the truth, whether you like it or not. That's what I tell people.
That's great. And we'll put that number on our website. So just go to morrisinvest.com/podcast. If you go to our website, you can see all of the show notes from today's episode, everything that Wayne and I talked about, plus Wayne's phone number. You can give him a call and be sure to go back and check out the first episode that Wayne and I did, where we really dug deep into repairing your credit and how to get those things adjusted and fixed. So Wayne, I want to thank you so much for joining us to go over these new changes to the credit reports. Thanks so much, Wayne.
Good talking with you.
Thanks so much. And thanks to all of you out there for listening and downloading and subscribing to the podcast. We appreciate it. We publish every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, as you know. And if you are ready to take action, you want to learn more about real estate investing, just come on over to the website. The same place you're going to find Wayne's info, just come to morrisinvest.com, and you can read all the blog posts and all the great content that we put up there every week. So thanks to all of you. Now go out there, take action, everyone, and become a real estate investor. We'll see you next time.